What's the difference between DIY and doing it yourself? It's the difference between a part-time passion and a full-time business. Wix gives you the power to turn your passion into a moneymaker with a website that fits your unique vision and the business tools you need to succeed. Let your ideas flow with AI that guides you but keeps you in the driver's seat. Manage your business from one dashboard and keep it growing with built-in marketing features. It's time to turn your daydream into your dream job. Do it yourself. Go to Wix.com.
At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
Henry's Christmas Cracker on News Talk.
You're very welcome to Henry's Christmas Cracker. I'm Henry McKean, and we're here for the next 2 hours, bringing you some festive cheer wherever you are listening in the world, whatever time zone. I just want to wish you a Merry Christmas. It's been an exciting year and a busy, busy year for many. Here is a clip from a few Christmases ago. We spent the day at Ballybrine Family Farm in Rode, County Offaly. So Gerard and Paula Lawler, they were fattening up about 700 open-range bronze turkeys before they ended up on our plate today. I got to speak to the turkeys. We're over here with all the turkeys, all 700 of them, and they're saying hello.
If you go and say gobble, 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 they will answer you, but you must say it loud.
Gobble, gobble, gobble,
no,
gobble.
No, shout. Gobble, 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 gobble.
They actually responded to you.
They do.
Okay, here we go. Gobble, 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 gobble. They're saying hello back.
They are. I don't think you believed me, did you?
So the turkey's there. I am delighted to say that Nevin Maguire is sitting across from me on this Christmas morning. Merry Christmas, Nevin.
Merry Christmas, Henry, and to you and all the listeners. I hope kitchens aren't too busy or stressful this morning.
And that's the thing. I mean, you've had a busy, busy year, and there's no let up. We sat down last year and we spoke about your Christmas. Are you doing anything different this year?
You know, for me, Christmas is all about tradition. I'm cooking for 40 people today.
You're not at it again.
I am.
You did something similar last year.
Well, yeah.
I think it was 20 last year.
But I love it. Well, I'm going to have about 25 in my house because my sisters, two sisters are going to be there. Yeah, three sisters, should I say, my brother. So I love cooking for them, Henry. I just love the fun of Christmas and good food. So my turkey's in the oven as we're talking. My goose is roasting. And I'm going to glaze my ham when the turkey comes out to rest and just enjoy the whole family occasion. It's gorgeous.
And do you find it stressful? I know, obviously, you are a trained super chef. Or can you call you a super chef? Yeah, you
are. I've never been called that, Henry.
But even so, trying to get the ovens right, getting it all timed, and then if there's somebody late, it's quite difficult to do.
Well, you know what? I like to have a nice kind of like easy kind of going day. Mm. So I have my little starters done. I'm doing a curry chicken spring roll. I have a chestnut and mushroom soup. That's ready just to reheat. I make pizza bread. So I made that yesterday. So that's just heating up because the kids love pizza bread. And so do the adults too. So the key is not to overcomplicate it. If people arrive late, there's no problem. There'll always be food. There'll be plenty of food. As I say, I'm doing the goose. So I've broken that down. I'm going to reheat that. I've red cabbage just to heat up and a honey and clove sauce. Goose is a lovely rich meat as well as the turkey and ham. So I love to feed people and give them happiness and just enjoy the whole day. And don't be afraid to delegate. I think that's important.
So you do need people to help.
Helpers. That's for sure. Oh, my sisters are brilliant. My wife, I get the twins helping me. Henry, they're 12 now and they'll be well able to
12. Yeah. Where does time go? That it just flies. And that's the thing. Delegate. Try and ask people for help.
Yeah.
What about if there's one person out of that 40 that won't lift a finger? Will that be okay or will you
dodge them?
Of course
that's okay. Henry, it's Christmas Day and the whole thing is you don't want everyone that's coming to your house, you know, getting mucked in because them too many cooks, as they say, spoil the brat. But, you know, for me, it's about just having the fun, enjoying good food and not doing it too quickly. Just kind of graze, kind of just relax, have your starter, take a little break, chat. Then you get on to your main course, then the dessert. It doesn't all have to be done, you know, in 40 minutes to an hour. Just enjoy the whole day.
And without you know, mentioning brands of ovens. What's the best oven, even though it's too late Christmas Day to get a new oven?
Well, I mean, like, I'm very lucky. I have a great association with Miele. I have a fan oven, so I have two of them at home, to be honest with you. And I have an induction hob, which is great.
Sure.
And it's really quick, Henry, for heating up. So I'm going to do my vegetables today. I have my carrots already par-cooked. Yeah. I'll finish them with butter, a little bit of honey, and then I'll throw in some nice frozen peas. I have the sprouts ready to go. I'll stir-fry them, and then the red cabbage is done. So and, just a matter of heating them up.
And red cabbage, I actually do like red cabbage. And before we go through a few amazing recipes and ideas, there are people out there, I know them, they've already overburnt something or they've perhaps forgotten to defrost.
Caramelized it. That's what we say.
Caramelized. That's a good way of
putting
it.
That's a good word.
Or as my wife says, high-baked.
Yeah, I love that. I haven't heard that one now, high-baked. Yeah, but, you know, some people, it's their first Christmas. And what I say, like, treat the turkey like a big chicken. It just takes longer to cook. Lots of lovely butter. Keep basting it. What does that mean? Spooning on the juices. Let it rest. Take it out of the oven. So let the meat relax. Wrap it in tin foil and a clean tea towel so it's not going to go cold for a good 25, 30 minutes. Slice it up and then have your lovely ham and your lovely stuffing.
You make it sound so lovely. And when it comes to carving, do we have one of those electric knives that the Irish have?
Or my mother used to have one, Henry. Amazing. My mother used to do
the still use them?
I don't know if they do. I mean, a good carving knife and fork. Yeah. As I said to you, I'm doing the turkey breast, so that carves really quickly. There's no waste.
Yeah.
There's no bone. I've marinated for the last 2 days in buttermilk, and then I remove it from the buttermilk, and then I put it into the oven this morning with some butter, bought it to room temperature. That's really key for anyone going to put your turkey in for later on this evening. Bring it to room temperature for 30 minutes before you're going to roast it. Preheat your oven. Then you can wrap the turkey for the first maybe hour or so. Take it off. Lots of lovely butter, bacon. I put some more bacon on the breast.
Oh, bacon. Yeah. Yummy.
And then, not because I'm from Cam, we don't like waste, but with the bacon that's cooked, put that into your Brussels sprouts. If you're stir frying them, a little bit of onion just gives lovely
just bacon. To give it a bit of a flavour. Yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, I do like Brussels sprouts. I know that lots of the listeners don't like them. You know, and on the carving, it's a real technique to get it right.
It is.
How long do you rest the bird for, the turkey for? How long do you rest it for?
I would say a good 20, 25 minutes or even half an hour wrapped in tin foil so it doesn't go cold in a warm place, not in a cold place. And then a tea towel, Henry. You said Brussels sprouts. Like, there's nothing worse than overcooked Brussels sprouts. This thing out the house. What I've done, last night I steamed them, so I cooked them for 4 minutes. Then I've covered them in a nice little white sauce. They're ready to go into the oven. Some breadcrumbs, walnuts on top, and a little bit of smoked bacon, just raw smoked bacon or cooked, into the oven then for about 20 minutes. And it's a gratin. It's lovely, Henry. It's white sauce with a touch of nutmeg.
Oh, yummy.
It's so tasty. It is good.
Yummy. So we've talked about things going wrong, and when things do go wrong, there's always something else that you can eat.
You know, don't panic. I mean, don't beat yourself up. It's a day to enjoy it, and don't overcomplicate it. Don't give too much choice. Delegate. They're all key tips. But enjoy the whole day. If something goes wrong, it's not the end of the world. It's one day. Don't worry about it.
And we've got through, let's say, we haven't got through Christmas Day. There's still many, many, many hours to go. But let's say tomorrow. For example, tomorrow I've got my family coming over. I've already told them that they're having leftovers.
Love it.
Or as my son says, you're getting scraps. But
I love that honesty. Well, you technically are, but it beats food waste.
But how do you sex up the scraps? There's so much food left over. How do you do something with it? And I know you've been working on various recipes to get rid of all that food, as you said.
Yeah.
And it's not fair to say because you're a Cavern man. Cavern people are very, very generous.
We are. Thank you.
It's a myth.
Henry, thank you. Henry, I'll tell you what I'm going to be doing and have it done. I've sent you the recipe for the radio show. It's a satay. So coconut milk.
Yeah.
Some crunchy peanut butter, a little bit of soya, sweet chili sauce, lime juice in that, and then we put in some sugar. Ooh, cook that all together with some peppers. If you want peppers, or you could put in the likes of cauliflower or red onion, ginger, garlic. And then you warm that up and then you put in your leftover cooked turkey. So when your turkey's left, whatever's left over this evening, put it into the fridge. Let it completely cover it in a little Tupperware container into the fridge. And then warm up your sauce, put in your turkey and your ham, and then serve that with rice. Tomorrow is not about cooking too much, but using leftovers, which I think sometimes are the nicest part of it.
And you're right, I love a leftover lasagna.
Oh, nice.
I just think the with flavors, turkey. Well, just generally.
Oh,
I mean...
Yeah.
Well, turkey would be nice too.
That's interesting.
And I have to say, I like eating turkey all year round.
I agree.
And I don't know if it's just me. And I love it in sandwiches all year round.
Yeah, me and you are alike.
And I also like, and I probably shouldn't say this, I like the poor quality artificial stuff in packets.
Henry.
But I do.
I don't believe you now.
I love it. Absolutely love it. But on that, and you talked about satay. I always think of chicken satay, but of course turkey can work because it's gamey and, yeah, and it would go well with satay.
It's a white meat and it's delicious. And it's, if you like coconut and you like a bit of crunchy nut,
yes,
or crunchy nuts like the peanut butter, it's delicious. And my brother makes a beautiful satay. I have it made in the fridge. I'm going to warm it up tomorrow. I've all my family, there's nine of my family, we'll all be together tomorrow and we'll enjoy the satay with some rice and it'll be just nice and simple.
That's lovely. And could you recommend anything else? For example, we're going to give them leftover turkey so we can do the satay. We're going to have leftover ham as well.
Yeah, pie, I think. Or even vol-au-vents, like puff pastries, all in. Yeah. You can get frozen vol-au-vents, yes, have them in your freezer, warm them, just cook them off. And then you make a nice kind of like creamy white sauce with garlic, mushrooms, add in your cooked ham at the very end. Or you could do a pie. You know what works really well with leftover ham is leeks. Cook off some leeks, cook off a little bit of onion, garlic. Again, the cream goes in. Or you can make a white sauce. It doesn't really matter. I usually use cream, thicken it with corn flour, then add in your leftover ham. And then what I do is put that over in a dish and then butter puff pastry on top into the oven. About 20 minutes, 25 minutes in the oven to cook the pastry because the meat's already done. It's delicious.
That sounds absolutely gorgeous. You know, you're making me so hungry.
With a salad or a baked potato or something, or if you've leftover roasties, you could pop them into. They're gorgeous.
You could put the roast potatoes inside
absolutely
the pie.
Why not? I mean, like, they're lovely. There probably won't be any left over, but you could put it, if you have leftover carrots, that could go in.
Yeah.
If you had leftover Brussels sprouts, why not?
And I know I'm sometimes a little bit adventurous. That annoys my wife. I put coleslaw into a stir fry and it didn't work. But could you get...
Well, I would understand that, Henry. Now, if that's a recipe I won't be trying. A coleslaw, which is meant to be eaten cold.
No.
You put it into a warm stir fry. This cookery book you're working on is going to be different, I'm telling you.
I was just experimenting.
You certainly were. Sorry, Henry.
But what I'm trying to say is, could you get out the wok? Could you get the wok out?
Yes.
And get bits of the roast dinner from the day before and just warm it up. And cut it up and warm it up.
Well, if I was going to do that, I'd add more vegetables into it. And
okay,
would it be like maybe peppers, a little bit of red onion, ginger, garlic, and then add in your meats. A little bit of soy, actually. You got me thinking, soy sauce would work well towards the end. A little bit of sweet chilli. So you're getting really, you're kind of jazzing it up and it's a wee bit different to what you had yesterday. I wouldn't put the stuff into the stir fry. It's a really good idea.
Yeah.
The leftover turkey and ham, that would work well. Soya sauce, ginger, garlic, beautiful chili too in that.
And Nevin Maguire, my wife makes a really good meat stuffing. So it's basically...
sausage meat?
It's just basically sausage meat. And the children eat that more than the turkey or the ham. We could save a fortune because we know, obviously, a turkey can differ in price for various reasons because, you know, it could be... organic, it could be, all those, what's that buzzword you use there?
Organic, free range.
Free range, there we go. the fact that the free range, you know, this is why people can pay up to 150 quid for a turkey, but you could get a frozen one for perhaps 15, 20 quid. And I know it's very late now if you've forgotten to defrost the turkey. Is it too late?
Well, you could, if you're going to defrost it, listen, to be honest with you, you've kind of missed Christmas Day, as simple as that. You defrost it in your fridge, but you can enjoy it over the next couple of days. Like, it's a lot, when you think of a Christmas Day, to New Year's Day, you could have a New Year's
Day. Of course.
Don't worry about that. So you certainly could. And then just defrost it in your fridge, that's the key.
I want to ask you about your year, because I remember last year, you were so busy with TV, with books, with travel. Tell us about 2024. What did you get up to? And what are you going to get up to in 25?
Well, it's been a fun year. And when I look back, so we kind of take things in segments. Our restaurants had one of the best years when restaurants are on their knees. We're 35 years open. We're employing 60 people. Yeah. We feel very lucky and blessed, Henry, to be honest with you. But I think I said to you last year that we changed our whole model. And when I mean that, we started closing on a Sunday so for our staff. Close Sunday, Monday. So that's having a weekend day off is a game changer, truthfully, for the staff.
Oh, you absolutely.
Then we closed, this year we closed 1 week in June. We're closed now at the minute until the 8th of January.
8th of January.
So 2 weeks at Christmas, 1 week in June. It's worked a dream. Yeah. So that has definitely, thankfully, that has really worked. And them doing one sitting, so not turning the tables, it's less stressful. And I think it's really, really worked for our team. Then when I go back onto the TV and the cookbook, like I have a new book out, Eat Out at Home, which is a lovely book. And more people are eating out at home. It's my 20th cookbook. And I feel very lucky. And thanks to Guild Books and all the team.
And tell us more a little bit about Eat Out at Home. You've given me a copy.
Yeah, and it's, I suppose it's in kind of new way that people are eating out.
Yes.
They want to celebrate, they want to entertain. The idea behind it came from the cookery school because my two most popular classes, Entertaining Made Easy and Cooking for Family and Friends, they're always sold out. So I thought, okay, we'll do a book on entertaining at home. What can be thrown together quickly? What can be made ahead? Seasonality. It's very different to my other books. You have small plates, large plates, side plates, sharing plates and desserts. That's the way it's broken. 100 recipes, 100 pictures. And it's recipes that people can make ahead. Like it could be a beautiful cottage pie or a lasagna. Your favourite, the lasagna.
Oh, I do love a lasagna.
But not using mince. Using a cut called casserole beef. Mm. You cook it low and slow and you pick it down with a fork, like shredded beef.
Yes.
And then you do your lovely white sauce and your lasagna.
Yummy.
Just a wee bit different. Just a wee bit different.
Yeah.
And then serve that with maybe some buttered peas. That's your main course for your family get-together or a nice romantic evening or whatever you want with friends, and then a nice dessert. You don't need to overcomplicate it. So it's been a lot of fun doing the book. And I think more and more people are definitely cooking at home. We want them to go out to restaurants, of course we do, but they're enjoying good food with their family and friends.
Oh, absolutely. And obviously with the cost of living crisis,
true.
Even the supermarket bill is high.
That's true.
And I know that restaurants have had to put up their prices because of high rates and electricity and wages and tax and you name it.
It's a vicious, you know, perfect storm, vicious circle, whatever you want to call it. It's definitely, it's been one of the hardest years I can remember.
Yeah.
You know, it was kind of getting staff. We're lucky we have a good kind of base of staff, which we're very lucky, but definitely the whole cost now is.
But I definitely think it's in a way, it means you guys have to experiment more.
Yes.
The other day, I wasn't in your restaurant. I did drive past your restaurant.
And you never called.
I was
I can't believe it.
I was basically, Daniel Whiffen had won his gold in Paris, and I was up in his homestead. And I had to get from there, from the north, across over towards, where was I heading again? I think I was going to Sligo.
Sligo, of course.
For a Pat Kenny outside broadcast. Anyway, I drove past your restaurant, but it was late. It was midnight. And I was like, will I call in? Will I go and say
hello? Well, I wouldn't have been there, but the guests would have been there because we had 20 rooms and I'm sure the barman, but please call again. You know you're always welcome.
Because the lights were actually on. I could see the light. See the lights on, Evan, and I thought, oh, will I do it? And I've been meaning to call up. I've been meaning to go up. But where I'm going with this is I had a beef cheek the other day.
Oh.
And as a friend said, which cheek? Anyway.
sorry, I love
it. This is a family show.
I love it.
And it was absolutely gorgeous. And the restaurant, I think, without naming the restaurant, you know, the way sometimes you put up stuff on the website. But
yes.
Of course it changes because it has to change because whatever's in the market.
Seasonality, that's it. But you see, that's because...
Yeah, it wasn't on the menu online, but it was in the restaurant.
Yes.
And it was amazing.
It's a secondary
And it was
cut.
A cheap cut.
And it's a good value cut. Mm. And like, for your listeners, if you have a slow cooker, beef cheek is glorious, pork cheek, all those lamb shoulder, lamb shanks, you cook them low and slow. Some stock, some vegetables, a little bit of wine in there in a slow cooker, brown off your meat. Oh my God, it's such good value and delicious. You can't cook it like steak, but you cook it low and slow with buttery mash. It's one of the most glorious cuts.
2025 for you, what are you going to get up to?
We have a new programme coming out in RT, and it's Portuguese Food Trails, which I'm really excited about. And it's really interesting, Henry. So it's the north of Portugal, right down through the country, and then the Algarve.
Oh, wow.
And we went into a place called Braga, and this kitchen, speciality, something I've never had in my life before. They made this rice dish with some pork, and then there was a thing of fresh chicken blood that they thicken the rice. I've never seen
fresh
that before.
Chicken
I've
blood.
Never had it before.
I know the Chinese like to put fresh chicken blood on their rice, but I didn't know the Portuguese did it.
I didn't know it in Braga, and I've never had it. It was very rich. It was very different, and every single part of the pork was used in this dish. It was a speciality.
Yeah.
The viewers will see it. You might think, oh, it's going to be squeamish. It's not, but it's just such a beautiful way that they cook and they appreciate every single part of the animal, which was incredible.
And going to Portugal, making that show, that must have been so exciting.
I was.
You were away from home, obviously, but not too far. I don't know if you flew in and out, but that would have been so beautiful. And I have a confession to make. I have never been to Portugal.
I love it. We go there regularly on holidays with the family. I've done a lot of shows there. And I just love the people. They're gorgeous people, Henry. The food is beautiful. And they cook the fish down in the Algarve. Whereas up the north, it's more rustic, more rich pork, you know, using every cut of the pork. It's a very different, diverse country. Beautiful wines in the Douro Valley. I would recommend Portugal. It's just such a lovely, beautiful weather too, most of the year. And I just think the people are really, really nice, sincere people.
And I just before I let you go, I've got to mention Dunn Stores. Any new products?
There's always something new. It's been an amazing journey. I've been with Dunn's for 10 years and, you know, with the Simply Better team and then my own cook range, we're going to be bringing out lots of new products now over the next few months because we test everything, our knives, pots and pans, for a minimum of 6 to 9 months.
Really?
Oh, we do. I'm proud of the range. I think it's affordable for people. The quality is good. We use it in the cookery school. I use it at home. So we're going to have lots of newness, new glass bowls and plates and, you know, that whole eating out at home, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, and we bought ours in Arklow. We were actually camping and we bought it. And then we were on a campsite with this fancy, fancy pot.
I love it.
From your range.
You are,
and we still have it, obviously.
I hope so.
It's not our camping pot. We use it every day.
I love it.
Just to say, I know you need to get back home to Cavan. Christmas Day. Nevin Maguire, thank you so much for calling in for Henry's Christmas Cracker. We have a really, really special guest today who's joining us all the way from America, all the way from Nashville, Laura Briner. You're very welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
No, it's just brilliant to have an American here in studio on Christmas Day. And Merry Christmas, Happy Christmas, and Happy Holidays. Which one are you?
I'm kind of all of the above. Plus, it's my birthday, too, on Christmas. And I'm actually partially Jewish, too, so I call myself a cashew.
Oh, fantastic.
It's a little nutty.
So being born on Christmas Day, do you feel like baby Jesus every day?
Oh, gosh. You know, I love life. You know, I love to live life to the fullest. I'm living my dream. It's always special.
And for you, you know, you are a singer-songwriter, and you've got this brilliant tune out called Wishlist, and it's doing so well across the U.S. holiday chart, which is you'd call it a special Christmas chart, isn't it? And, you know, we've got all the other massive Christmas songs in there also. What's it like being involved in Christmas every day?
You know, it's weird. As a songwriter, you never know when you write a song and you put it out there, you hope that somebody likes it. And now to have it number three on the chart for a holiday chart up against so many great, great artists out there. Here it is, Lil Laura with a Dream, and it's like all coming true.
Laura, it's unbelievable because obviously Mariah Carey is also Mrs. Christmas, and you're Mrs. Christmas too. And you've worked with
That's a huge compliment to be in company with her. So thank you.
but you've worked with singer-songwriters, and they've also worked with some of the biggest stars, like people like Sabrina Carpenter and the Backstreet Boys and Cher. To be involved with those names, let me turn that on its head, they're honored to work with you.
Ah, you're so sweet. Thank you. It is amazing. It's really, really incredible.
And, you know, I want to ask you a little bit about Hollywood as well. You take part in the Hollywood Christmas Parade. What is that?
Oh, you know, it's interesting because people don't realize it's been around as long as Macy's has. Mm. They're just a couple years shy of each other. And it was such a special night. You know, they celebrate all these different celebrities and shows and things like that, where Macy's has floats and Broadway and things like that, where Hollywood, or Hollyweird, if you want to call it that.
And it's Hollywood weird. I mean, I've only been to Hollywood a few times. I was there just last March for the Oscars, and it is Tinseltown for a reason. It's very Christmassy in a way, even though it's hot.
It is. You know, that's the thing. Like, people don't realize, you know, here in this parade, we've got R2-D2, and we've got all different kinds of things. We have floats, but we have all the movies and different things like that. And people think that Hollywood, it's this untouchable thing. You know, it really can be Christmassy. It's the Grove is an outdoor mall we have there, and it's one of the Christmassiest places you can find.
And it is. I mean, you live in Nashville. I understand you're originally from Maryland. Did I get that right?
Yes, I am.
And again, I visited Nashville, and this is showing my age here. All the bars, what are the bars called again? They have a special name.
Lower Broadway.
Lower Broadway. But they have a name. What are they called again? They have a kind of cowboy name.
Honky Tonks.
Honky Tonks. Thank you so much. All the Honky Tonks. My God, the music was so loud. It was fantastic music. I was like, I can't hear you. But, you know, obviously being part of Nashville, that is the mecca of country, and not just country, but music in general.
It is, yes.
What's that like?
And great songwriting, too.
Being surrounded by so many talented people every day for breakfast, every day, including today, Christmas Day.
Yeah, you just never know. You'll walk by anybody, and they could be a janitor, they could be the CEO of a major company,
yes.
And everybody's a songwriter.
And everyone's
unbelievable.
Everyone's trying to make it, and even though they don't realize it, they probably have made it.
Right.
And you know, people go there, especially people from Ireland, go there too, to try and make it, and they do make it. For you, what is it you love about music and Christmas music, and is it in your heart? Is it in your soul?
Absolutely. I mean, how Wishlist came about was, you know, yes, we were inspired by Mariah Carey and obviously being born on Christmas. But to me, you know, Christmas is about being together. It's about family and friends and celebrating those good times. And to me, getting together with different songwriters and things like that, you really get to explore what you want to say as an artist.
And I want to ask you a little bit about
your Irish roots. I understand you were in Ireland recently, and obviously you're back here. And thank you so much for joining us on Christmas Day. Like you, my grandmother is from East Cork. She's from a place called Ballycotton. Actually, she's from that kind of Middleton stroke Youghal area of Cork. You've got relatives in Cork. How did your hunt go?
Absolutely great. We were there back in February, and it was so wonderful just talking with everybody. And what a beautiful place. I mean, Ireland, the whole country is beautiful.
Do you think?
I do. I think it's beautiful and green.
It's very green.
And to me, it's actually a lot like Nashville. I know that's going to sound, it'll sound a little strange. Although we say y'all and you say hello.
Yeah, we do.
But we have a different accent, and everybody's just so friendly and so nice here and so welcoming. Mm. You know, that's the southern way. So I feel like Ireland's a lot like that too.
Yeah, and it's true. You know, when you listen to country music in Cork, or you're driving around listening to Cork's 96 or Red FM or one of the Cork stations, and a country comes on, and you're in a pickup truck, and it just feels just so right. There's just so much connection, you could say, between Ireland and Nashville in that way.
Absolutely.
Like, we love that. And like Garth.
It's real. It's
Garth
real.
Brooks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's about real life, you know, things, experiences. You know, not every day is the best day.
And the stories. I mean,
and the stories and life experiences, you know. Hey, I'm having a bad day, or hey, I've got something to celebrate.
And love and breakup.
Love and breakup, and yes, definitely being drunk and your pickup truck got in a wreck and your mom had a lot.
And on that, I mean, to get a good song, to write a good song, do you have to have a breakup? Do you have to have a torn love life?
Do you know what they say? The best songs come out of a bad relationship.
Yes. And we're not going to talk about your love life.
Just be sad.
Yeah.
Just have a bad day. Have a bad breakup and you'll be a hit.
And a typical Christmas day for you, Laura Briner, what do you get up to? When you wake up in the morning and until the evening, it's Christmas Day. Merry Christmas. Laura, tell us about your Christmas Day for you.
Oh, our Christmas is so wonderful. Well, we open gifts, but we are all in our Christmas pajamas with our names on it. That's a big tradition in our family. But we open our gifts and we open our stockings, and we also do my birthday. And we do a big breakfast, eggs, bacon, and or rashers, I guess you would say.
Yeah, we would say rashers. And my dad also, he's not born on Christmas Day, but near Christmas Day. And he moans he only gets one present. Do you just get one present because you have your birthday on Christmas Day?
No, actually, you know, my parents have always been so good about it. They do it separate. And of course, my mom will always say, you know, it's 26 hours of labor. We could never forget where we were on that day. And because my head, I guess, is very large, not just because of my hair, I was delivered to my mom in a stocking.
In a
stocking.
Were you not born in a stable? Because all the hotels were full.
See, you're a brilliant soul. I love you. God bless room service.
But I just want to thank you for coming in and sharing your story. I'm not going to ask you to sing in studio. We will play Wishlist. We're going to play it now. Do you have any message for the world out there, Laura Briner? Do you want to send some love and peace?
Absolutely.
And love?
Thank you so much for having me on today. I'm so lucky and so blessed, and thank you for all your support. And everybody, please reach out on our socials, Laura Briner, LauraBryna. We got all of it: Spotify, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, all of the above. LauraBryna.com. Please reach out. I'm the one that answers all the comments, questions, all of the above. But really, you know, I'm so blessed to be able to live this dream. So, and to be here with you is really an honor. So, thank you for having me, and I can't wait to come back.
Oh, Laura, I've upset you now. I'm so sorry.
No,
are you okay?
No,
should we have a hug?
I always need a hug.
We'll definitely have a hug.
Yeah. Yeah.
During the song, we will. And this is the thing, for people, for families out there, it's an emotional time.
It is.
There's loneliness out there. There's love that's lost. There's people
all
who,
of the above, yeah.
You know, people have died. It's a tough time, isn't it?
It is. My dad passed away a couple years ago.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I miss him. Thank you. I miss him dearly every day. And although I learned so much from him, you know, life is too short. You got to live life to the fullest.
Well, Laura Briner.
Take time to smell the roses.
Laura, your family, your father, everyone that you've lost, everyone that you love, Merry Christmas, happy birthday. Here is Wishlist. Laura Briner, this is Henry's Christmas Cracker. Thank you. And it's great to have a country lady in studio. I visited the Lark in Balbriggan, where the cast and crew were performing Cinderella. And I got a surprise when Kieran Cuddihy's voice was part of the show.
More than anything else on the agenda today, it's the cost of bike sheds, actually, that are infuriating people. It costs about I should explain, if you're just tuning in. It turns out that the OPW spent €335,000 on a bike shed for 18 bikes. So about 18 grand a bike, it works out as. Now, you're probably like me, you expect it comes with all the bells and whistles. Apparently not. There are no gates in front of it. There's not even screens on the side to shelter it. In fact, some TDs have complained that they're not putting their bikes in it because they're still too exposed to the elements in this bike shed that costs €335,000.
That was Kieran Cudahy, basically, in Cinderella, who knew? And they played a clip of him from the September just gone. And Kieran Cudahy's voice gave me a right fright. Anyway, here is the cast and crew of Cinderella.
Hello, everyone. I am Jake, and I'm playing the role of Prince Liam.
I'm Grace Nolan, and I'm playing the role of Cinderella.
Hi, I'm Rory Nick, and I'm playing Buttons.
And I'm David Gilner, and I'm playing Glammy.
Go on, Glammy. We're here backstage at the Lark. Cinderella is running right up until the 30th of December. For you, this is, I suppose, the second year in the Lark. What do you love about it?
The panto spirit is always a nice thing to have around Christmas time, seeing families enjoying the show right from the ages of 0 up till 92. It's great to see all ages coming and enjoying the show, and that's kind of the beauty of it, the Christmas tradition, and just everyone having a laugh. That's kind of the lovely thing when you go to a panto. Everyone is going to enjoy it. There's something for the kids, there's something for the older ones, there's literally something for absolutely everyone.
I've seen the show. It really is fantastic. What do you love about panto?
Jake is pointing to himself, not him. Same kind of thing. Like, you really feel like you're part of the magic, and like seeing the little kids' faces light up. But as well, I've never been in a show that's run this long. So now we're kind of at the point where you know it so well that you really start to have fun on stage. So being around such a talented cast, and also people who are just such good crack as well.
That's very nice, isn't it? Grace being nice this morning.
And Rory, for you, I mean, is panto, I suppose, the highest form of art? Does it sometimes not get the respect that it deserves? Perhaps bigger than a movie, better than ballet?
Yeah, I absolutely would feel strongly about that. I mean, it's such a rowdy thing. It's almost Shakespearean, I suppose, in that sense, where, you know, you've got the crowd, like, you're kind of battling with the crowd, but you're also feeding off of the crowd. It's so interactive. You have to be so flexible on stage because you never know exactly what's going to happen. Definitely, I feel like it doesn't get credit. You know, it is kind of an extreme sport. I mean, everyone's bodies are in bits at this stage, you know, because it's so physical.
And it is very physical. You're up and down at this stage, your Buttons. You must be wrecked afterwards.
Oh, absolutely exhausted. I'm jumping into a hot shower and doing all my stretches and everything. I don't think I've ever felt so fit in my life.
And it's two shows a day sometimes during the week. That's a lot.
It's a lot. No, it really is. It's exhausting. But it's almost kind of puts you into like a meditative state because there's so much to do and you're so focused and so busy all the time. Can't really think about anything else, you know? So it definitely, kind of brings you into your body because of how intense it is.
You were here last year, Beauty and the Beast, and so was Jake and other members of the cast. Being back and doing it all again and keeping that chemistry, a lot of it's about chemistry, isn't it? And a special magic, panto.
Definitely. Oh, definitely. I think, and as a cast, especially in the Lark here, like, we all get along so well. We all know each other so well. And we all have a similar kind of sensibility in terms of comedy, in terms of improvising. In terms of performing, we can kind of read each other quite well, I think, which is really nice. And you get that just year on year. We were lucky that we naturally had it to begin with, but it's great now coming back second year and seeing how that's developed.
And improv. I want to ask you about improv because I was at the show the other night and there was a bald lad at the front.
On the front row.
And it wasn't me. I was a bald lad at the back. But, you know, you know that improv and, you know, finding a joke, the crowd going for it and just working on that natural feeling in the stage amongst the crowd. How do you find that?
Oh, you have to be in the moment. And that's the great thing about pantomime, is that it's live theatre and things can change every night. So if there's somebody in the crowd that we can connect to, have a laugh with, or there is a joke there or a running gag, and I think we play with that. Do you get me? So you have to be there in the moment and relax that you know the script, you know the story, but to have fun with the audience. Because at the end of the day, you want people to be entertained and to go with the, you know, the arc of the story.
Do you ever forget your lines? And if you do, how do you get through?
To be honest with you, what Rory said is a complete lie. We all hate each other. And I've
already?
Yeah, no. Yes, we forget our lines from time to time, but the audience don't know that. Yeah, I say the great I, the great Glammy forgets his lines plenty of times. No, it's fun, it's high energy. But to me, it's tradition. It's there's a beautiful tapestry of the pantomime dame from Ian McKellen to Danny LaRue to Joe Collin and the Gaiety. I always like to give a little, you know, like for me, I'm a huge Danny LaRue fan and he came from Cork and he made a star of himself in England. And the fact that I get to give one or two shout outs to Danny and the tradition of the pantomime dame, because it's the fun character, it's the joker. And I've got a great partner in crime with my stepsister and my sister, Whammy, the double act, the Ugly Sisters. So to have that comedy duo is the first time I've had that on stage. That kind of quick-witted, you know what I mean, Morecambe and Wise, kind of Harry Enfield. It's just great. You know, I really love the connection that Corinne and I have because we worked together last year.
And if you were, you were brilliant last year too. If you were heckling me, what would you say? You can be insulting and in character, I don't mind.
Oh, there's no problem. There's a few heckles I could say with your very smooth vocals. You know, me and you could, you know, have a lovely duet together. Frank Sinatra and Ginger Rogers, get up out, Henry. Speak to me in those sultry tones.
So, get up out of that. I suppose that's a Dublin phrase, meaning...
Yeah, I have a few, like, up the parish, you know what I mean? Giddy up. Yeah, I've got a few of them. I like those Irishisms or Dublinisms, do you get me? That the audience can relate to, yeah. But get up out of that. GERUPPV. OUTTA. Get up out of that.
So it's get up out of that.
Yeah. Hashtag, you're only massive. but yeah, it's just finding those lines and those moments in the script.
Is that a compliment?
It's a compliment. Of course it's a compliment, Henry.
and I want to ask you a little bit about news. I mean, news sometimes ends up in the panto. This year, Kieran Cuddihy shows up.
Yeah, on the hard shoulder. On the bike sheds. Look, yeah. In society, comedy is very important to have. It's like journalism. With acting, with theatre, with playwriting, you have to have a mirror to society. Pantomime is a mirror to society. Last year we went after Toy Show the Musical, and rightly so. And this year we went out of the bike sheds with all the bells and whistles, 18 bikes. I think he worked it out, was it 18 grand a bike?
Yeah.
And it's not even protected by the elements. So if we as a group of travelling players, artists, creatives from the front to the back can't mimic society, what's happening, I think it's a shame on us. And I think it's all in tongue and jest, but it's seriously like over 300,000 on the bike shed. And OPW, come on, speak volumes. But yeah, we kind of like that, and it's tongue and jest in society. So that's pantomime.
So it's arts meets news. That's what panto is.
Oh yeah, sure. Tomorrow's show, we're going to be talking about all the different coalitions. Do you get me?
So it's a movable feast. It's right up to date.
Yeah, well, like we're told, is it great to just be in opposition? Do you really want to get into government? Will I get in government? Am I going to get knocked out in 5 years' time? Look, we're going to have banter with what's happening right now in the political atmosphere. And and we might even talk about Gerry Adams and his cookbook.
Wow, so that is pretty exciting. I can't wait for that one. You're about to go on stage, all of you. You know, how do you deal with nerves and you know, butterflies in your tummy before you go on stage?
We're all in it together, you know. We're a good team. You get to know each other so well that, you know, that even if you do have a little slip up on stage, someone's got your back, or they're going to make a joke about it and the audience are going to love it anyway. So, yeah.
Getting on with the cast, you do get on with them? Everyone's still friends?
Most of the time, yeah. For now. But it's going to be, you know, we've 3 weeks ahead of us. Who knows? So,
and Jake, you know, you're obviously travelling around, not just doing this, but with your brother Nathan as well. It's constant. It's constantly on the road. How do you do it? How do you find the energy? And do you get a break on Christmas?
We get Christmas Day off, and we get Stevens' Day off, or Boxing Day, as I still call it. I don't know. To be honest, I'm just kind of used to it at this stage. I've kind of always grown up in the industry, so never really get to stop anyway. So I think if I stop, that'll be the problem then.
So you love it. You love that. And you'll probably get a break in January, surely.
No, back on tour in January, yeah, with the band. And
it never stops.
Never stops, no. Sure, what else would you be at? You can sleep when you're dead.
And where's the tour going?
We're in Dublin, we're in Cork, Drogheda, Galway, Killarney, all over the place, all over.
Well, look, I know all of you need to get on the stage. Thank you so much, and best of luck with Cinderella here backstage in The Lark. Thank you.
Thank you so much, and we're running till December the 30th, so get your tickets now at thelark.ie.
We're here in the lobby. The panto is about to start in the foyer. What do you love about panto?
I love the energy of the panto, and I love the colour and just the general feeling of it. It's just gorgeous. It's just so such a joy to be around.
And joy is the word. You can feel that with Last Christmas playing in the background.
For sure, yes. We're really looking forward to it, and we love coming.
Nasan Evreen, Gaelscoil, Ballybrigheen.
So you brought the kids from the Gaelscoil. What do you love about panto?
It's great fun for the children, and just the excitement for the day out, and just the humour.
You love the humour. You love the banter.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I'm a bigger child, I think, than the children who I teach.
You're the bigger child. Is it that slapstick humour you like?
Yeah, yeah. And the children are laughing even when they don't particularly understand the jokes intended. It's just feel good, fun day out.
What do you love about it?
It just transports you back to your childhood. It's just magical. Love everything about it.
What do you love about the panto?
I love it. I love the jokes. I think they're funny. And I like the performing. It is good. I like the music. Everything.
Everything.
My favourite is probably the jokes. I'm a big joke fan. And I love comedy.
So it's starting. What do you love about panto?
Oh, tosse on ma, to my air beast lahaye.
A big thank you to the cast and crew of Cinderella playing at the Lark in Balbriggan until December 30th. It was a great show. It really was. I saw the whole show with my family. Really, really enjoyed it. Something we all love to do at this time of the year is ice skating. I know I do. I'm not very good at ice skating. I remember in Scotland as a child, the lake nearby, or the loch, I should say, turned to ice, and we used to ice skate that way. But now we've got these ready-made pop-up ones. They've been around, I suppose, across Ireland for about 10 years. Every town now has one. I visited the Smithfield Christmas Extravaganza in Dublin. So we're here at Christmas Spectacular in the heart of Dublin 7 in Smithfield Square. I've got my ice skating boots on, and I'm going to try and get on the ice. I admit, I haven't ice skated for quite a while. We are slowly moving on the ice. I am just about doing it. Oh, this is actually quite difficult. Probably should have tightened my boots a little bit. It's very icy. It's very Christmassy. Oh, I need to look out for the other people. I can just about do it. So this girl is very good at the ice skating. She is flying around, whereas I am just about doing it, following the arrow. Maybe I need one of those small penguins. Across Ireland, there are ice skating rinks just like this. I was at one recently in Killarney. There's also one in Deniri too. Oh. And I've just crashed into a child, sorry. So you accidentally crashed into me. Are you okay?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
You're not hurt?
No.
And do you fall much on the ice?
No.
Just sometimes?
Yeah.
And what do you love about ice skating?
Just fun.
And what do you love about Christmas?
Presents.
You love the presents?
Yeah.
And what about you? What do you love about it all?
I don't know. It's just relaxing. Yeah, I like Christmas because of the presents as well.
What I love about it is the laughter, the, you know, Christmas spirit. You know, get to go out with the family, take a day off work and just, you know, have a bit of laugh. You know, go home black and blue later on.
And are they your ice skating boots?
No, these are the ones I got from this place.
Oh, okay, so you don't go off to Switzerland and do this?
No, I wish I did. If I had the time, I would. Kids are home, I wouldn't be able to have that luxury of going away for Christmas to Switzerland.
It's really fun. It's a good challenge, but I don't know, I really enjoy it, so.
So you managed to stay on the ice there for an hour.
Yeah.
Are your legs wobbly?
Yeah, a little bit sore, feet are a bit sore, but it was good fun.
What did you think of it all?
It was so much fun. It was definitely fun seeing him fall on the floor once or twice.
So you fell a few times?
Yeah.
Only once, at the start.
Well, a child crashed into me, it wasn't the other way around. It happens.
But it was really fun, and yeah, the feet are a bit sore now, but it was worth it.
How did we find ice skating?
We come every year, we go ice skating every year, and we love it. But this is our first time here.
So where is home for you?
Kildare.
So you're here in Smithfield enjoying the ice skating?
Yeah, we're having a little day off.
And you do it every year?
Yeah, we come every year. We go ice skating every year, but we actually, this is our first time here and we loved it.
And it's pretty icy this one, isn't it?
It is, it's really icy. It's like a proper, like,
compared to some other ones. It's impressive.
That's the first thing that I said. It was like the ice rinks that we used to go to years ago, because I used to go to Dolphin's Barn as a kid. And when I got on it, I was like, it's like an old ice rink.
And they used to have the Dolphin Barn, one like this?
Yeah, it was like a proper ice rink.
Heavy, heavy ice.
Yeah.
And what do you love about it?
I like how icy it is, so you can just slide around.
And you like sliding?
Yes, and go fast.
Yes.
And do you go fast?
Yes.
What do we think? This was our first time here with four kids, and they were all absolutely delighted. They loved it. Various degrees of ice skating ability, but everybody loved it. Cassie, did you like it? Did you enjoy yourself?
Yeah.
What was your favourite part?
Skating.
Skating, of course, yeah.
I thought it was great fun. We weren't going to bring him, but he just sat in the red tractor the whole time and had a great time.
So all four kids, all under the age of around 8 or 9?
8 down to 2. Technically 5, but they'll let you, let you in with a 2-year-old if they stay on the tractor.
Hiya, I'm Erica from Sing Street in Dublin 8, and we've come ice skating with our second year students today.
Are they enjoying it?
Yeah, they're loving it, all right.
I like the risk of almost dying.
You like that?
Yeah, I love that.
And what do you like about it?
I like the fact that you have to, like, pay attention. And, like, you have to make sure, like, you're not running into someone else.
He doesn't normally pay attention.
He doesn't normally pay attention. And did you manage to stay upright?
Somehow.
And what do you love about it?
Staying upright's lovely, but he can't really do it. He fell a few times. I fell a few times.
I fell, like, twice, and I nearly broke my arm.
You nearly broke your arm, but you loved it.
Yeah.
And it's freezing in here, but good freezing.
Yeah.
Frosty.
Yeah.
And what do you love about Christmas?
I don't really celebrate Christmas, I'm a Muslim, but I just love the snow.
You like the snow, though?
And the presents as well.
And the presents.
Yeah.
Luca, keep falling down.
So that was your 3-year-old chatting.
Yes.
She's chatty.
Yeah, she's very chatty. She's all excited to be at ice skating today in Smithfield. So.
And what do you love about it? What do you love about being on the ice?
Oh, it's so exciting for everybody. It's something different for Dublin, really, isn't it? We don't get to do it too often, and just exciting. Everybody can take part.
We're right in the heart of the city, and it's a pretty big ice skating rink. Thick, thick ice as well.
Yeah, it's great. It worked for us anyway. We're up from Wicklow today, from Stratford-on-Slaney in Wicklow.
All the way
from
there.
Yeah, we had a bold day off school for a trip to the Big Smoke, so yeah.
That trip to the Big Smoke is important, isn't it? To get
it
into
is.
That Christmas feel.
Absolutely, yeah. It's a big experience for the Christmas, yeah. So
I'm back on the ice. Let's try again and not fall over. God, I'm not like a swan at all. But we're going to try and get round this track in one piece. We're going to try and try not to fall backwards.
I've never really gone before, so I just want to try it out.
This is your first time?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you nervous?
Yeah, I am a fair bit.
And have you done it before?
Yeah, I think it's so Christmassy. It just gets me in the Christmas spirit.
Wow, now that was exciting, exhilarating. I think everyone out there should definitely wrap up warm and get to a nice rink near you before they close up for the season. I'm having a chat with Callum, or Cal. You're from South London. You live in Donegal. You're here at the ice skating rink. What do you love about this Christmas spectacular at Smithfield Square?
Well, actually, this is my first time in Dublin 7, which is lovely. Donegal's a bit more rural, a bit different, but this is a lovely place. Loads of tourists, meeting loads of people. And yeah, if you've got the chance, definitely get down here. I just got my face painted. I'm now a reindeer, so it's brilliant.
You're a reindeer, and you are wearing reindeer.
Yeah, I'm wearing antennas. Some people call them horns, but yeah. My name's Cal, but I'm a reindeer, so it's a bit going back on myself a bit there, but it's lovely.
And do you like ice skating?
I don't really ice skate myself, no, but I like watching people fall over, so it's brilliant.
And what do you love about Christmas?
What do I love about Christmas? Giving people gifts. And just stuff in my face.
you love stuffing your face.
I love stuffing my face with potatoes, roast potatoes, anything, any kind of potatoes, mash, whatever you got, stuffing a lot. It's lovely.
And thanks to everyone there in Smithfield. It really was great fun. Now, we all know a dog is not just for Christmas, but for many out there listening, it's too late. You've got the puppy, you've got the dog, you're struggling, and just keep on struggling if you can. And so many dogs at this time of the year, and in January, they end up in homes or pounds. Anyway, I visited the 1992 Why Me Eurovision winner, Linda Martin. And, you know, she loves dogs. She absolutely loves them. So she set up Dublin Dog Hub, basically a dog shelter. It opened last year near Dublin Airport. And there is a joke coming up, which Eurovision fans will get. And for dogs listening, there is a lot of barking throughout this report.
Hello, everybody. My name is Linda Martin. And today I'm talking to you from the Dublin Dog Hub. And a few of you might just know that I opened it last February, and we look after stray, injured, unwanted, gorgeous dogs.
Linda, we're here in St. Margaret's Meekstown, or you could say near the airport. Mm. Is this your Terminal 3?
It could be. It could be now. If it was, I'd be besieged by Eurovision fans, because it's bad enough at the moment when the Eurovision fans are travelling and they see a Terminal 3. The photographs that come in to me are just like mental, because I know so many of them.
You absolutely love dogs, and we're here at the Dublin Dog Hub. It's Christmas Day. We're outside. We're looking at all these absolutely beautiful animals. Yeah. You set this up in 2023, last year. Yeah. How is it going?
Well, it's like every business, it starts off very slowly. But thanks be to God, I've been working in animal welfare for years, so I have a little bit of credibility with people in the animal circles. So it was sort of easy to get references and that sort of thing. But I finally secured a contract with Dublin City Council, and we have a great affiliation with them regarding the dogs and the animal welfare unit. So it's going slowly, but getting momentum. Like, first of all, it was only me here, right? And then now I have a manager, we have an assistant manager, and we've got fabulous volunteers.
Linda, you're an artist, you're a musician, you know, 1992,
yeah.
Why Me? And you're still touring, even at Malmo, just gone. People are like, you've got to come to the Euro Club, Linda's there, Linda. And I'm like, but it's on at 2 a.m. or something. How do you find the energy to tour? You're just back from a tour and run here.
Yeah, just back from the Eurovision tour. We took in the UK, Europe, and ended up in Australia. 33 of us on tour.
33 Eurovision artists.
Some of them I knew, some of them I hadn't met before, but the crack was 90. The organisation especially was incredible for how they put the whole thing together. And I've been blessed with energy all my life. And I'm not one to sit at home and just sit there and do nothing. I have to be working. So this is perfect for me. And I know you're talking about Christmas Day, but dogs don't know it's Christmas.
They don't.
I have to feed them and clean them. So as soon as I leave here this morning, I go back home and we'll organise our scrambled eggs and smoked salmon. And before anybody says that, it's far from that I was raised, but that's a little treat. And then I don't know what I'll do for the afternoon, probably watch Home Alone again, because I love that. Yeah.
So you'll be staying around here. Will you head up to the north, will you stay here near the dogs?
I have to stay here, right, because of work. You know the way people with families that work here, you have to consider them, and I do. But it's my project, it's my dog hub, so I have to be here, and I will be here gladly.
And all the dogs, they're looking at us. Obviously, they don't know it's Christmas. No, we've got this beauty here. Yeah. It looks a bit like a British bulldog.
He is.
It is a British bulldog.
It is a British bulldog, and he's only a year old. Big, friendly lump. And he was surrendered because they had young children, and he wants to sit on your knee. So he just wants a big, friendly lump. Oh, yeah, you can see what he's doing now.
He's playing with his bowl.
His bowl, so the water's everywhere. But he's a fabulous dog, and I'm very optimistic in the new year we'll get him home, but not with small children.
So all of them have names, and you know all of them, and these have been perhaps surrendered to you.
Yes.
And we've another beautiful brown one. He looks like a toy, or it might be a girl, I'm not sure. These are stunning, stunning animals.
They are.
And they're all looking for a home.
All looking for a home, yes. And you were in our kitchen, and you met Hugo.
I did.
And we've all fallen in love with Hugo. And he's a, what we call a pocket bully. and he's gentle. He's clean beyond belief. I've never met a cleaner dog in all my life. And we just adore him, and he adores us. And, you know, he'll be here until we get him sorted out with a new home.
And we know that dogs aren't just for Christmas, and we know that people get perhaps a pedigree and then they can't cope and then they come to you. But you've got beautiful dogs that are looking for a home.
Yeah.
They need a second chance.
They do.
You're asking people to perhaps look you up. How can we look you up?
Oh, you'll find us on Instagram, the Dublin Dog Hub, on Instagram, Facebook, and all over the place, really. And do contact us through Dublin City Council, because it's not an open gate for people to stroll in and out. It's not that sort of a shelter.
You've got to make an appointment.
Make an appointment, come up, come in, have a cup of tea with us and talk about the dogs. But please, if you're still thinking about buying a dog, don't. Please go to your local refuge and just pick something out.
There's too many. And let's go and meet some of the dogs. Can we go and meet some of them? So we're walking along here. We're actually outside. You've got this amazing enclosure, which is inside, outside.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about this dog here.
Well, he's looking for a home, and I know it's very crispy out here today. It's a bit cold, but each dog has his indoor cage, and there's a heat lamp in each cage. And shining down on his bed, so there's heat for them, especially. But he's lovely.
And is this a pug?
That is a little French bulldog.
Oh, it's a French bulldog.
Yeah. And he's only found recently and brought into me. Now, he has skin problems and things which we're dealing with at the moment. But in a few weeks' time, maybe mid-January, he'll be put up for adoption. Nice little creature, he really is.
Another beauty here. Tell us about this one.
That's called Dove, because you can see why he's so black. Dove, if you said Dove, get up on the roof. He's one of those dogs.
And he's Dove can do anything.
He wants to do everything at once. Another gorgeous one there. And this big fella, so gentle. Unbelievably gentle, and we're very optimistic about him.
And this dog here looks a bit like one of those Australian, I think it's called Heelers, and that Australian TV show Bluey.
Yeah.
This dog looks a bit like Bluey.
Charlie was cross with it because I know the Merle markings. A gentle giant, and I'm optimistic about him. I think we will get a home for him, not this side of Christmas.
Another beauty dog.
Yeah, he's gorgeous. Our red Princey, he's a lovely boy.
What's his name?
Prince.
Prince, and Prince does look like a prince.
Prince is
it's quite royal, that dog.
Absolutely, and we have Apollo there. And then this big fella here. Look at the tail wagging.
So this one's wagging his tail, so just happy to see us.
Just wants to be with somebody, absolutely. So remind him, he's up on the website with every other dog that we have here. And we do great media work. We have a wonderful media person that's a volunteer, and her name's Vary, and she's magic with words and photographs and things. And Brendan Burke, you know that company called Shoot My Dog?
Yes.
Brendan Burke. Well, Brendan comes up here maybe once a month, and he takes magic pictures of our dogs. Now, we take pictures, but when you see Brendan, you sort of say, oh, Jesus, it's a different dog. And we get them put up, and the reaction we get from those photographs is incredible. Just brilliant.
Well, Linda Martin, happy Christmas. I know you've got loads to do.
Oh, we have, Henry. And listen, the same for you. I hope the rest of your holiday goes magically, and I hope Santa's very good to you. And if you do ever consider another dog, you will come to me, won't you?
I know my son's crying out for a dog.
What age is he, Henry?
He's 6. He wants a goldfish and a puppy.
Right, okay, all right.
You don't do goldfish.
No, we don't do goldfish. No, we do hedgehogs. We can put you in touch. If you have a bit of land, we can send you to hedgehog rescue. But no, the puppy, please come to me.
And talking of hedgehogs, you did have a visitor just quite recently, someone from a very well-known pop band.
Yes, a very well-known pop band. Orla's mother says, is that fella from Finglas? I says, he is, yeah. And did he play with boys? Oh, and he did. I just said he did. We had the delightful Adam Clayton from U2 up here, who's a big animal lover, I might add, and wanted to know everything about it. He was modest, he was lovely, and a great interviewer, I thought. And in the middle of the interview we're doing, Yvonne from Hedgehog Rescue out in Lusk arrived, and she says, Linda, I have the hedgehogs for you. Oh, says Adam, my daughter is besotted with hedgehogs. I says, Adam, there you go. And I gave him the box, the three hedgehogs. And these little beauties are now living on 15 acres in Rathfarnham. it was just a life. And he sent me lovely photographs and things as they released them into the woods, if you like to call it that. Lovely guy.
So you'll be having lots of pop stars and rock stars coming through in 2025.
I hope so. You see, it's lead by example. And you probably agree with me on that. You know, if it's good enough for Adam Clayton to come here, it's good enough for anybody. You know, that's the way I look at it.
Hi, my name is Orla Carney, and I work here at the Dublin Jog Club on a voluntary basis with Inter.
Orla, you've known Linda for years. How long have you known each other?
Over 40 years.
Wow.
Long time.
So
yeah.
All that time, you know, even when she was in, you know, pop at the very beginning.
Yeah, from the very beginning when she was with Chips and gone around the country, yeah, we used to meet up. She'd leave her dogs, her little dogs, with my mum and dad, and we'd head off to the gigs, yeah.
And Chips were massive, weren't they?
Absolutely massive. And of course Louis Walsh was with them on the road as well, and there were some laughs, let's tell you.
And you know, Louis obviously has been here. He supports the Dublin Dog Hub as well. He's come in and stroked the dogs and, you know, supported you.
Yeah.
For you, why do you do it? Obviously, you love music, but you also love dogs like Linda Martin.
Yeah, I absolutely love dogs. They're my life. They're my kids now. My kids are grown up. I have four at home myself, all rescue. Four dogs at home, yeah. And they're absolutely gorgeous. But to see the life they have and then come up here to the hub and see dogs that are left on the streets, you know, they're in a bad condition coming in, and all they want is a bit of TLC, a bit of love, be fed, be warm, and then to see them progress to being a house dog again and seeing them go out to homes and getting photographs of the dogs by the fireplace in their new home, it's so rewarding.
And a dog obviously is not just for Christmas, it's Christmas Day. Let's say someone has got a dog and they've realised, obviously it's too late now, but they've made a mistake. Should they keep at it, keep mucking in? What should they do?
Well, they should get a trainer on board if they're not used to doing it. But if they ring us, we certainly give them good advice. We also have trainers that we can contact. And I think keep at it, because do you know what? It takes at least 3 months for a dog to settle into a home environment. This is all new for them. They have no idea what is expected of them. And they need a routine. Routine is the most important thing. Feed them at the same time, walk them at the same time if possible, and give them love every day, and get them up on that couch and cuddled in beside you as you have your Baileys tonight on Christmas Day.
Happy Christmas.
Thank you, and you too.
And that's a dog making that noise, not a human.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. No, the humans will be making the noise later on with a few brandies by the fire, for sure.
A huge thanks to the Dublin Dog Hub there. A dog shed shelter set up by Linda Martin and her team. And believe it or not, they are working today, Christmas Day, because as she says in the report, dogs don't know it's Christmas, which, you know, I thought they did. I thought dogs knew that it was Christmas. They could just tell, because dogs pick up on your emotions. But no, dogs do not know it's Christmas. Let's just remember that. I'm here with Dr. Karen Ward. And it's drkarenwardtherapist.ie. Happy Christmas, and a huge welcome to Henry's Christmas Cracker.
Oh, Henry, I'm delighted to be here. I love this day. It's very exciting, one of love and joy, but it is difficult for a lot of people.
It is, and thank you for making the effort to come in on Christmas Day. What we're talking about, and over the year I've talked to you about various things, but I want to talk to you about Christmas Day and relatives and trying to avoid an argument falling out over Christmas dinner. What are the do's and don'ts? How do we all try and get along on this beautiful day that baby Jesus came along?
Well, I have a maxim that has been honed over many years, and it's sometimes we have to step away to save the day.
Step away to save the day. I should have done that earlier. Probably too late now.
And it really means that things happen with alarming regularity every single year, because we're often put together with a disparate group of people that we don't come together in that particular tribe, shall we say, on this one day. And it's there's a lot of emotions very heightened on Christmas Day. I mean, for example, there will be a lot of people who've been up at the crack of dawn because the children, Santa's coming, and they're playing with their presents.
Yes.
And some of those presents might be very loud and mummy and daddy might be demented by the time they get to Christmas dinner. But also you possibly have the person who's doing the brunt of the cooking very stressed out.
I mean, and normally the mum, normally the mum.
Normally the mum. And let's face it, Christmas dinner is a complicated meal.
It is.
And is often made more complicated by nowadays, your guests might be vegetarian, vegan, glucose intolerant, lactose intolerant. So when you put that into the mix and you're trying to have this big,
a beautiful
fancy
meal.
I know. And then, of course, invariably somebody will be late. And then do you go ahead with the meal? Do you wait?
And everything's cold.
Yeah.
Getting it just right.
Exactly. And then there is a kind of magical few years where everybody arrives on time. It's wonderful. The matriarch of the family usually puts on this amazing spread.
Huge spread.
The patriarch is so proud to put it together. But then invariably, a couple of years later, maybe the mum is getting a bit older and she just can't cope with it all. And perhaps the dad, maybe
grandkids.
They're on a pension and they don't have the sort of money that's required. Things are more expensive these
days. They are. Cost of living crisis.
And, of course, you've all these little ones running around, sugared out of it probably, making a lot of noise. So it if you think of this, it's like a powder keg situation. So therefore, it's wise beforehand, couple of days beforehand. Now,
yes.
At the moment, we're probably looking into this later on today, but just take a breath, anticipate situations that might happen, and maybe behind the scenes, help out or distract somebody or bring the children out the back garden.
Just try and help. Try and help out. Try and even lift plates to the dishwasher.
Absolutely.
Or try to diffuse an argument. How do you diffuse an argument? Because there's so many different personalities at the Christmas dinner. Like so many. You might have politics at the table. You might have differences in world views at the table. Someone might have gone down a rabbit hole and they can't get back out again. What do we do to try and all get along? And we could have different generations. We could have Alpha. We could have Gen Y. I only discovered Gen Y the other day. Gen Z, Millennials. I'm Generation X.
I'm a baby boomer.
And we're all there. We're all at different generations, totally different worldviews, and trying to get through that dinner, that day. How do you do it without a shouting match?
Well, that's a very good question. Certainly in our family house and my husband's family house, we generally, politics, religion and sex, we do not bring up at
politics,
the
religion and sex, stay away from.
Now, they're the classic dinner party conversations that you can really get a meaty conversation going. But on Christmas Day, as you say, with this disparate group of people of all ages, it's just not wise to bring it up. Keep it very light.
Mm.
If there's little ones in the family, it can be all about what did Santa bring you? And maybe there was in the morning, for exactly a lot of people this morning now were out sea swimming or running.
Or they went to church.
Yeah, so they went to church or there was a charity something on. And these are beautiful things to do on the day. And we have to think about what this day is actually all about.
And what is it about?
I mean, to me, it's all about love.
Oh, I thought it was about putting pressure on women to have the perfect day and obviously set them up to fail.
Henry! Well, if you think about it, if you are a Catholic, well, then obviously the beautiful nativity story, I mean, this magical sacred child
the newborn
is born.
King.
And think of, I mean, the neighbours, the shepherds, they all came in and they helped. And this couple in a really difficult situation were homeless. And we don't have to look too far from where we all live today.
And we don't. And we know that the figures this Christmas, over 15,000 people out there, children included.
Absolutely. And what's wonderful is here we are on this day.
Yes.
And many, many families, and I know certainly a lot of people I know and our family, we put together a hamper and we delivered it in our case, the Caption Brothers, because we've recognised that Christmas presents and gift giving can be mad things. You're racing around town trying to think, oh my gosh, what do 11-year-olds want this day? What would an 18-year-old want? Whereas I think everybody would agree that we recognise how special it is, how that we have a roof over our heads, that we have a meal to share today. So that many families do a Chris Kindle, they buy one present and they will have received that this morning or perhaps later on after dinner today. But it is lovely to have delivered some presents into St. Vincent de Paul.
And give back, do something decent. And it's never too late.
Community,
even Stephen's Day tomorrow, you could have a go.
Well, this is it. Because my point is there will be presents given today that maybe you accept graciously, but you know you're not going to use it.
Yeah, I know. I haven't opened my gifts yet.
There you go.
But there's going to be things. There's going to be things that I want to take straight to St. Vincent de Paul or de Paul.
Well, there you go.
Without coming across as rude and obnoxious.
Exactly. And it is important that when we give gifts, whether it's earlier today or later on, that we give them with a heart and a half. Because once you've handed over the gift, then it's up to the person who receives whatever they want to do with it. To give it to a charity shop, to use it, to pass it on, recycle it, whatever.
So I know, Dr. Karen, we're all supposed to be talking about other things as well. I'm going to ask you briefly to talk about have yourself a healthy, holistic, festive season, because I know we all have to have Christmas dinner. I just want you to briefly talk about that.
Oh, yes. Look, in my philosophy, all bets are off on Christmas Day. Eat the turkey, have the plum pudding, have the Christmas cake, enjoy every bit of it, wallow. And maybe you're all falling asleep in front of the Christmas movie or when you're playing cards or whatever you play later on, charades. Stephen's Day is the day that you get out and you get some fresh air. And again, there's loads of fabulous walks. You can go by the sea. There can be, again, charity events on. So on this one day, eat and drink whatever. Of course, you'd be very mindful if anybody's driving. There will always be one person who doesn't imbibe. And then make sure that you factored in an opportunity to meet friends, because a lot of people come back from abroad. So you've got the diaspora arriving in, and it's fantastic.
Oh, it's great to
meet somebody.
That's brilliant.
Not in a pub, not in a restaurant, but out for a walk, for a hike, whatever.
Well, Dr. Karen Ward, happy Christmas. Thank you so much for joining us here on Christmas Day. It's Christmas. It's Christmas Day. And it's just wonderful to be here talking to you across not just Ireland, but the world. Thank you so much for tuning in. We're going to be talking about Christmas trees now. Christmastree.ie. And we've got Colm. We've got Colm Crowley on the line from Cork. Hello to everyone in Cork. How are you, Colm?
Great, Henry. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to talk about Christmas trees.
Oh, not at all. So it's Christmas Day. You can finally relax. How's it been? And tell me about the fact that you've been running many, many years, but you're putting trees in pots and you're kind of renting them out or leasing them out. Tell us, how does it all work?
Well, we started back in Christmas 2021. And what we do is we have Christmas trees. They're in pots. They're from various sizes, from 3 foot all the way up to 6 foot. The customer then rents it from the 8th of December and hands it back then on January 2nd, because 3 weeks is the maximum amount of time that the tree should be indoors, so that it basically gives it the best possible chance then to survive then for next Christmas.
3 weeks, because you're right. I mean, I know the children at home, they were like nagging us, come on, we want a tree. And we finally got one. We finally got a tree, but we delayed until the last minute and they probably thought that we were Scrooges. The date that we got our tree was Tuesday the 10th of December, meaning, you know, the tree's been up now for over 2 weeks. Is that too late? Is that the right time to actually get a tree? And this is one that's actually cut. It's not in a pot.
Well, yeah, it depends. Like we sell trees, cut trees now as early as November. So, I mean, if you have a really good water stand, you know, the tree will survive right up to Christmas. But with the pot-grown tree, the live tree, it shouldn't be indoors for more than 3 weeks. It's just a different type of product. And we're still experimenting where we can, you know, stretch out to the 4 weeks or the 5 weeks. But at the moment, no, we're only renting for 3 weeks.
So you've got heights from 3 foot to 6 foot. So a 6 foot tree is probably quite big. You know, my wife hates a massive tree. I want to get the biggest tree ever and then have to cut the top off. But she's like, no, it takes over the whole room. So I think we settled on a 5 foot tree. So these potted ones, you know, customers, they can have them basically delivered to their doors. I know it's too late now, but for next year, they can have it literally, they can go online to christmastree.ie and just fill in a form, pay a deposit, and then the van rocks up with the tree, and then you, you know, send it back. And then it's still alive and it's still growing.
Exactly, yeah. Like, we do have a shop in Cork where people can come and pick out their tree. And but we have customers then that rent the same tree every year. So when we started back in Christmas 2021, we put a little tag on each tree, a little number, and then we contact the customer then in October, November, and ask them, do they want to rent the same tree again every year? And normally they do. And
the same tree, so you can get the exact same tree.
The tree is growing bigger and bigger than every year.
So the same tree. So the tree is the exact same tree. So you can almost be attached to the tree and have feelings for that same tree. That's not amazing.
Exactly. Exactly. And like, people name their tree as well.
Wow.
Like, there's some great funny names out there, like John Tree Volta or Bruce Springsteen, Donald Trunk. You know, there's a lot of quirky names people give their trees.
The last one.
So it's great fun as well.
The last one, Donald Trunk. And that is
Donald Trunk. Or Keanu Treves is another one I heard this year.
Keanu Treves. Wow.
Keanu Tree.
Trees, I should say. That's so hard to say. I mean, that's just brilliant. So, and again, the main message behind this is you're trying to be environmentally friendly and, you know, to help us long term, to help the grandkids and the great, great grandkids so we don't actually destroy the whole world. That's what you're trying to do, isn't it, Colm?
It is. I think there's a great message there as well, you know, that the tree can survive for more than just the one Christmas. And it's just great to see that we have customers here now that have been, you know, renting the same tree for the past 4 years and hopefully for another 4 years again until the tree gets too big.
And they will eventually get too big. So a 6 foot tree, and you can correct me, that's what, a 10 or 11 years old tree? It's been growing that long?
It would be about that, yeah. But like, the thing with the tree in the pot is that the growth is limited. So every year the tree is only growing a small bit. So it wouldn't grow the same as a normal cut tree.
And my final question to you is, where do you get your trees? Do you grow them? Do you work with Christmas tree farmers?
I grow them myself. We grow them in West Cork.
Fantastic.
And the rental trees, we take them back in January and we look after them for the year. And we just bring the same trees then back to our shop then every year so people can rent them back out again.
Well, Colm Crowley, you can finally switch off now. You've done the work. Well, actually, the trees grow all year round, so you have to go and now tend to them. Go and tend to the trees from christmastree.ie. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And a huge thank you for all of you for tuning in and to all the fantastic guests we had today, Christmas Day. And a huge thanks to the production team, Hugh Keenan, Anne-Marie Kane and Sean Reedy.
No offense, but your brain is a terrible place to keep your big idea. It belongs in the world, but you know that already. You have a calling, a voice that says, this is what I'm meant to do. Create the website your big idea deserves with Wix. Make it your own with top-to-bottom customization, AI to help realize your vision, and built-in business tools to turn your daydream into your dream job. Wix supports every stage of the business journey, except one. Your decision to begin. Ready? Go to Wix.com.